Just as a hungry little lamb finds its way to a caretaker for a meal, so do congregants come to their pastor. Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's practical four-part series, Living Portraits of the Church. Over the past few days, we've been talking about the relevant dynamic between leaders and followers. In the event you missed any portion of yesterday's program, we'll begin with helpful highlights. We had looked at the Gospel of John, and now we're turning to the book of Acts for further insight. Chuck titled his talk, Feeding the Flock, A Healthy Meal.
Now let's move from the Good Shepherd's Council over to a missionary's council about sheep. Go one book further to the book of Acts and stop at chapter 20. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that following the Gospel of John, the church is underway and the history of the church begins to run its course. And the Acts of the Apostles is a study of the growth of the church in the first century. So we're not surprised to find a man on a missionary journey. In this case, his name is Paul. Paul is in a hurry. Verse 16, chapter 20 tells us that. He's in a hurry to get back to Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. It's one of the great feast days of the Jews. So in a hurry, he's got a lot of water to cover. Verse 6 tells us he starts in Philippi, which is way across the way in ancient Macedonia. He comes across the top of the Aegean Sea, gets to Troas, and shoots a course due south, and he comes around Turkey, what we call today Turkey, called here Asia, and then he comes all the way to Jerusalem. Now, the problem was he wanted to touch base with friends at Ephesus, but he didn't want to get embroiled in the lives of people in the land of Turkey, in the city of Ephesus, so he tells them to meet him at a coastal city of Miletus. Look at verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. See, he wanted to meet with them because he had founded the church, hadn't seen them for a while. He talks about his life in verses 18 through 27, and then he talks about their future, 28 through 35. It's their future that interests me. Look at 27. I didn't shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Then he looks them in the eyes and says to these fellow shepherds who are also sheep, and he says indirectly to all of us, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Why? Why be on guard? Because I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. You say, well, what we ought to do is just screen them so that they don't get in. But wait, they're already in. Look at the next verse. For, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Get the warnings? Be on guard. The Greek says, hold your mind. Isn't that an interesting way to put it? Keep your mind on the fact that there are wolves among you. It's a frightening thought, but in virtually every church today, there are wolves that look like sheep. No doubt it's true in our church, just as it's true in every other church of any size. After a while, sheep-looking wolves creep in. And so he warns this small body of people to be on guard. So the warning to us would read like this: watch out for wolves that look like sheep. How do I know they're wolves? Hang around them long enough, they'll act like wolves. They'll sound like wolves. They won't bleat. They are ferocious. They will devour. They can be wild. They are treacherous. Now, when I first read this, I thought the commands were identical. Be on guard. Hold your mind on this. Verse 28. And be on the alert. verse 31. But you know they're not. In fact, they're two completely different verbs for the purpose of emphasis. The second one is intense. Watch out! It's that kind of thing. The first one is a little more casual. Hey, keep this in mind. You come in the church, just keep in mind. Keep in mind it isn't a perfect place. Remember, there are some wolves on the loose. But you can't tell by looking. You got to listen. You got to pay attention. Listen to your teacher. Make sure it's truth you're hearing. Watch the people you fellowship with. Make sure they have God's good at heart, not their own agenda. Be sure they're not gossips. Wolves often rely on gossip. Be careful in the picking of your close friends in the church. Just be on the alert. And every once in a while when you see one, it's time to say, watch it! That's it. When that happens, very serious things occur in a church, but they must. It's called church discipline. It's necessary for the church to remain a safe place and a harbor that it was meant to be. So the warning, watch out for wolves that look like sheep. Let me close our time together by looking back into the subject of the shepherds and point out a couple of four more things. Look at Ezekiel 34. You know, I found when I was reading through Ezekiel 34 that the word shepherd appears 16 times in the original language. 16 times. So this is definitely a chapter on shepherds. Now, in this case, we're talking about a nation with its king or a nation with its priests. The shepherds are people who are leaders of the nation. And the tragedy is these national leaders had forgotten the role of sacrifice. They were serving themselves. They were playing up to their own wishes and wants. And so Ezekiel is told by God, you tell them the truth. They need to hear it. Prophets are like that, telling the truth to those who don't want to hear it. Look at verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds. Shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Wow. I should say so. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. You don't slaughter to feed the people. You slaughter so you'll have a great supper. You don't shear the sheep so the people will have food for the cold winter. You shear the sheep so they'll weave the clothing for your back, that you might be taken care of. You're in it for yourselves. Look how they forgot those in need. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. Sound familiar to some of you who have been beaten? Interestingly, we find that some who visit our church on occasion come just for the purpose of finding healing and relief. They come as battered sheep. It's a heartbreaking thought, but it's true. Shepherds who serve themselves serve with force and severity and domination. And you know what happens? Listen to me, verse 5. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd. They became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. Cults feed on weak flocks or battered sheep. The cults give the idea that they're the compassionate ones. They're the caring ones. Just come join our group. We'll take care of you. What you don't know is that as wolves, they will devour you. In this case, I notice one of the characteristics of uncared for sheep is that they respond like neglected children and adolescent teenagers, like aimless teenagers When the going gets rough, they become scattered. Verse 6, my flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered all over the surface of the earth. Verse 8, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field. For lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds didn't search for my flock, but rather they fed themselves and did not feed my flock. It's easy for that to happen, isn't it? It's easy for the government to see itself as ruling over the people rather than serving us. It's easy for our Congress to forget that the purpose is to be servants of the people, not authorities over the people. It is easy for shepherds of a flock to see themselves as God's voice, when in fact God's voice is hidden in His Word, in which the shepherd must find food just like the sheep. Necessary warning. Obviously, the first one from Ezekiel 34 is this: be sure you're not serving yourself instead of the sheep. I mean, can you imagine a sheep paying $200 to have his wool cut? I mean, I can't imagine that. Here's the second warning. Just occurred to me, just an afterthought. Second warning. Pay close attention to sheep who need special care. Pay close attention to sheep who need special care. That's why they're named in verse 4. The sickly, the diseased, the broken, the scattered, the lost. They're not the people who get in our way. They're the reason we have a church. We are not here so that people will gather to listen to the master speak. That's a joke. That's idolatry. We are here to minister to one another, to learn how to do that. And if the spokesman helps make that happen, wonderful. But he's just a part of the flock. How easy it is to miss that, especially in a big church. One of the things I love bragging about when I travel regarding this church is the number of groups we have that are support groups. Support groups for hurting people. Name whatever category you wish, and virtually everyone you name, we've got a group for them. This is a church that, since I have known it, has cared about the needs of the flock. You may be a victim of this or of that. There's a group for you. You may struggle with this or that vice, this or that addiction. Trust me, there's a group for you. This is not a place where only the healthy meet and only the intelligent are served. This is a place for broken-hearted, lost people. People who need healing and cannot find their way on their own. May it always, always be true. Now, if I may, from the prophet's words, let's turn finally to just a quick glance at the apostle. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, you might wonder what sections mean a lot to me as a shepherd, under-shepherd. I'll tell you, 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4 is one of them. Committed it to memory. I review it rather regularly. I come back to 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4 again and again and again because it's God's agenda for me and my calling. And it really brings me up short at times. Look at verses 2 through 4. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Then he names three negatives and positives, not under compulsion but voluntarily, according to the will of God. Not for sordid gain but with eagerness. Not as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving examples to the flock. See the three? And then it says there's going to be a reward. When the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. You know what the warnings are? I see two of them. They're very obvious. The warning is take a gutsy examination on yourself. Take a gutsy examination on yourself. All of you who teach, all of you who serve as leaders, all of us who pastor flocks, all of us who serve as officers, All of you who are elders, take a gutsy examination on yourself. Do you do what you do without being prodded? Does money enter into your motive? Are you a controller and dominant? All of those are written between the lines of verses 2 and 3. Take an examination on yourself. Second, be a good example to the flock. Verse 3, proving to be examples to the flock. You know what that word example means? Hupogrammaton means to write under something. Years ago, a child's tablet, the ancient writing instrument, would often have at the top a model letter that would be copied below. It would be written in a very clear and legible print by some master teacher, and then underneath it, the child would write the same letter. He would write under the pattern. That's the word used here, to write under. Shepherds, be a good pattern. You can't be perfect, so don't get neurotic trying to be or acting like you are. Be who you are under God's power and for God's glory. Live your life according to His precepts and principles. That will provide the flock a pattern to follow after. Be a good example. Ask you a hard question. Ever followed a bad example? Ever followed that example thinking the example was good when in fact there was a hidden motive, another agenda, a double life? You know what disillusionment is all about. You understand heartache like few. All the more reason for me to say to all who serve in whatever capacity of leadership, never forget, you're to be an example. A reasonably good example of what people are to follow. Now, I want you to do something unusual. I want you to close your Bible. Not forever, but for right now, I want you to just close it up. We've been in it all this time. Been thinking all the way through without mentioning, I've been thinking about the 23rd Psalm. Have you? When I think of the shepherd and the sheep, I think most often of the 23rd Psalm, but I've deliberately waited to the end to talk about it. Most of us could quote it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside quiet waters. I'm going to ask you to participate in the close of this message. You've listened very carefully. Some of you are hearing for the first time about the sheep and the shepherd and about a door that leads you to the safe place. I'm going to ask you who are in the chapel to cooperate as well and participate in this. I've sort of paraphrased the 23rd Psalm, and it occurs to me it's a wonderful way for us to respond following this instruction to our shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. I'm going to ask you if the lines I read apply to you, wherever they may apply, will you just stand up and remain standing? If what I read is true in your life, just stand up. And then I'll close with a time of prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. If He has filled specific needs in your life in recent days so that you no longer want, please stand. I love that. Look at that. Second, if He has fed you from His Word and has strengthened your walk with Him this week, will you stand? Just remain standing. If your life has been in a bit of turmoil and He has, as your shepherd, recently provided you with times of quietness and rest, as you're going through this transition, will you stand? If He has recently restored you from a time of wandering to the joy of an obedient walk with Him, either stand or stand up on your tiptoes. I think all of us would have to be on our tiptoes. We've known wandering all too well. Here's another. If He has walked beside you during dark days when you've confronted evil or even the fear of death, would you stand? And finally, if he has come into your life today for the first time, so that you can say, I am one of his own sheep and a part of his everlasting flock, would you stand? We stand in allegiance to our great shepherd of the sheep. We stand in honor of his name and his deliverance. And I stand with you as one who has been the recipient of his grace, as one who has needed and has known forgiveness, who has been encouraged in the midst of a time of discouragement. May we all stand for closing prayer. We are just sheep, Lord. Just sheep. In the ranks of humanity, there are all kinds of categories and respectful positions and places of authority, but in your family, we're just sheep. That's not so great. What's great is that you're the shepherd. And that's what thrills us, Lord. That's what helps us go on. Thank you for the fresh touch you bring to our lives. Thank you for quiet waters in turbulent times. Thank you for your hand on us and your arms around us when the going gets frightening. Thank you for your presence before us when we can't see our way clear. Thank you for your rod and your staff that comforts. You are the great shepherd of the sheep, and we stand in allegiance to you, our great God. Through the Lamb of God, who has taken away our sins, we pray. Amen.
All across the sanctuary, people were standing to their feet as a symbol of their gratitude to the Great Shepherd. And maybe you're feeling the same way right now, affirmed in your spirit that indeed the Lord is your shepherd. And as a result, you long for nothing more. You're listening to Insight for Living, and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Feeding the Flock a Healthy Meal. This message is available online at insightworld.org. We'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment, so please stay with us. Now, to hear today's program again, remember that you can access Chuck's teaching on your mobile device. Just download the convenient mobile app at insight.org/app. Thousands around the world find this app to be a handy way to keep up with the daily program. Chuck?
Of all the questions people ask me about my spiritual walk, one stands out as the most repeated. Hey, Chuck, what helps you stay on target? Great question. And my answer may surprise you. It's been a persistent discipline for decades. It often occurs daily. It's keeping a personal prayer journal. There's something powerful about this tactile experience. Letting the ink flow across the page, distilling my own private thoughts into words scrawled into my journal. It equips me to sustain a life of balance and obedience. Insight for Living Ministries has prepared a brand new journal for you. It's called Passionate Prayer. Along with plenty of room to write down your prayers and all that God is teaching you, I'm also providing real-life illustrations for you. 12 women and men who modeled passionate prayer. So give us a call or go online or write a letter today. Let us know that you'd like to have a copy. Ask for the spiral-bound prayer journal called Passionate Prayer.
And it's yours when you give a donation of any amount to Insight for Living. The process is quick and simple. Choose one of two easy methods to respond. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. The Prayer Journal is likely a book you'll treasure for years to come as you jot down your personal requests and answers. It comes with our thanks when you give a donation of any amount. You know, it's your contribution that allows us to provide Chuck's teaching on radio and over the internet. So thanks for giving a generous donation today. And here's our website again, insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Perhaps you're prepared to take the next step in your support of this nonprofit ministry by becoming a monthly companion. Your automated gift makes a profound impact on the predictability of needed income and gives you the satisfaction of knowing you're doing your part to support Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, become a monthly companion today by calling 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Thursday, Chuck Swindoll talks about finding your place in the body, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Feeding the Flock a Healthy Meal, was copyrighted in 1993, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.